You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the Cooligans, stupid.
All right, we are here with Michael Timms himself, Timzy. Timzy, thank you so much for joining me, man.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
Alexis couldn't be here, and I know he would. He would want to be here,
yeah,
to be with a fellow gooner.
Arsenal man to Arsenal man. Yes.
Right. So I'm going to, you know, it's a good week for me. You see, I'm wearing an Everton shirt.
Yeah.
And look, I didn't expect it, but let's just start there and then we'll talk about your career.
Okay.
But because I'm a little bit hyped because Everton Football Club defeated the league leaders. Top of the league, top of whatever. I'm not going to do the accent that much, but it'll pop in from time to time. But Everton defeats Arsenal.
Yes.
1-0 at Goodison Park, which the last time Everton played Arsenal at Goodison Park, Alexis and I were there. And Everton won 2-1. Demarai Gray, you remember that banger?
I do remember, yeah.
How'd you feel after that result?
After the result, I felt quite down.
Okay.
Obviously. Just because, I mean, you're something of like a bogey team to us now.
Sure.
It was like, it used to be Bolton back in the day.
Right, right.
And then it was Stoke. And then weirdly, it was kind of Southampton for a little bit. And now it seems to be you guys. So I was so disappointed because the expectations are so high.
Yeah.
So I was like, we got to go there. Now I'm thinking like, we go there, it's a tough place to go, especially Sean Dyche. It's going to be difficult. But then I was like, nah, we shouldn't lose. Like, it'll be tough, but we'll draw. Or like, we'll maybe be leading and then concede in the last minute and draw and be a bit disappointed around. Mm-hmm. So then it was a bit of a blow to lose to you guys. But now it's okay because of the result we just saw.
So exactly. Right. The context is a little bit different. I was like, you know, I'm usually, between Arsenal and Tottenham, I'm like, I'm not a fan of either, but because of I have so many Arsenal friends, I'm like, all right, I don't want Arsenal to succeed in any. I don't want Tottenham to succeed in any way.
Yeah.
And I understand the context of like City winning would make it a little bit scarier and a little bit.
Yeah. And also just, I think for the good of the Premier League, like Arsenal, if Arsenal won the league this season, right? I think that's an amazing story. Like I know, obviously I'm an Arsenal fan, but I think objectively like, City not winning a fifth Premier League title in 6 years
right.
is a good thing. So I think it'll be, for the good of the Premier League, it'll be great if we won.
Yes.
Personally as well.
City losing to Tottenham
makes
it, at least as an Everton fan, I think fans of any other team besides those two, it's like, what's wrong with both of you? You know what I mean? Like, you should be beating these teams. And then, you know, Tottenham... losing their manager, obviously, I hope Antonio Conte is okay and everything. But like, you would think there would be some disarray.
Yeah.
And same thing, Everton. I did not expect a victory at all. But there's something to they say the new manager.
Yeah,
the bump.
Yeah.
And it feels a little bit too real right now.
No. Yeah. It's true. It's a real thing. I'm not surprised.
Why did okay? So and I want to speak as the American fan who pays attention to the Premier League I've been truly been focused on the Premier League in maybe the last like decade. That's about it.
Yeah.
So I haven't grown up with it my entire life.
That's fine. That's okay.
Okay. But look. You need Americans interested in the Premier League for the Premier League to be the Premier League.
It's true.
So you're welcome for capitalism, I guess. But. The new manager bump, it feels like when I was watching Everton play, I'm just like, Frank Lampard couldn't do this. Frank Lampard could have just tell them defend a little bit better.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell them to like maybe play a little bit of a defensive formation. It could, because it seemed like he was stuck in like No, I truly believe these players can play the way I want to play, exactly, and I refuse to change. And he does it. But as a person, he didn't seem that stubborn, but maybe he really was.
No, I think, look, as a manager, I think if you're going to make it, you have to have that right balance of like being adaptable and also sticking to, you know, your beliefs. Because then if you don't stick to your beliefs into like as a manager in the way you want to play and the tactics you want to employ, right, then you're never going to make it, right?
But in the face of all the losses?
Of course, yeah. No, obviously it was horrendous, right? It was bad. And I only know this really because like, so some of my friends are like Chelsea fans and they follow Frank around because obviously he's a legend of the club, right? So they watch him as a manager a bit more. And I see them like, you know, once in a while and watch a game of theirs if they're playing whoever or match of the day, right? So I only get little glimpses of it. Whereas they watch it and they're like, nah, he's just, so they tell me that he's kind of like, he wants to be like a visionary in that like he's expansive football, play a certain way that's like expressive and open and stuff, right? Hence why they leak all the goals in the world, right? And then you have Sean Dyche, who's just the total opposite. Yeah. It's not to say negative football, but he's just like, start from basics. It's like real basic traditional English football, right? As in like English football.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're not going to concede. We're going to make it so difficult for people to break us down. And then, like, if we score from a set piece, so be it. But we're going to make it difficult for other people to score. And then we'll find what we're good at. And if that's set pieces or if that's in the channels or if that's pressing high, whatever, then we'll do that. It's just very pragmatic.
Yeah.
And Frank's wasn't pragmatic, basically.
Not at all. But realistically...
I didn't watch the game, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the game yesterday.
Okay.
Arsenal Everton. I didn't watch it.
You didn't watch it?
No. I was asleep. Because it was half seven.
Yeah, 7:30 a.m.
And
yeah.
I was tired through alcoholic beverages.
So it's good you missed it.
I missed it.
Yeah, yeah.
And because we lost, I don't want to see that game. I don't want to. Usually, right, if we win, I'm going, boom, straight on Arsenal's YouTube channel. I'll go Match of the Day, VPN.
Yeah, right.
Just like watch Match of the Day or watch the highlights. I'm never going to watch that game, ever.
Well, you know what you missed? I'll tell you what you missed. I'll give you a nice abridged version.
Did you deserve it?
Yes.
Okay, fair.
Yeah, better chances were created by Everton, which is already, I can't believe I'm even saying that. I didn't expect to hop on this show today and say like Everton absolutely deserved to win against Arsenal, created more chances and better chances. Yeah. Did Arsenal have more of the ball? Of course.
Yeah.
But...
apparently we weren't good with the ball though. Like we weren't slick. Usually this season we've been the understanding of the ball, of the movement. Odegaard is just on fire and bringing everything together and like just everything's clicking, whereas it didn't click yesterday.
Right.
And that's obviously, you know, partly down to us being a bit crap, you guys actually being like good.
Sure.
And Sean Dyche doing Sean Dyche things where he just makes it so hard to break us down. And that's it, which is fair play.
Yeah, and I truly did not think that it would work out this quickly. I didn't think Everton players would adapt any other suggestion of or tactic suggestion, and it completely worked.
But yeah, as in you don't think it would work this quickly. It's not like it's now going to work forever. It's not like it's the first game. Oh my God, we're there.
Well, that's
it's like, give it time, bro.
I have a feeling Sean Dyche is going to get found out. You know what I mean?
No, he won't. He won't. Because he's a good manager. He's a very, very good manager. But I just feel like that first game, the new manager, new energy in the team.
The heart.
You've got to prove yourself to another manager now. Also, like, bro, he got him doing bleep tests.
That's right.
He just came in I've seen all of this, right? Leaky defense, not scoring goals, atmosphere is rubbish.
Right,
you know what we need to improve? Just fitness. Just run. Run, my boys.
Just the get the foundation right. Right. And this was a bit of a debate on Twitter because you just said bleep test.
Yeah.
But we call it the beep test.
That's bleep test.
It's bleep. You say bleep test.
Well, to be fair, a bleep and a beep is the same thing.
It's the same thing, but the test itself, which I've never done. Have you ever done the?
Yeah,
I've never done. I didn't grow up playing football, so.
Yeah.
But I've seen it, and it looks like an absolute nightmare.
It's not fun. I think the last time I did it was I was probably like 14.
Okay. Yeah.
And like, at school, it was like, let's make sure everyone can run about a bit.
Right. If anybody listening or watching does not know what it is, if just a quick description is, it's basically just running, but it's like interval.
It's suicides.
Right.
So it's like, I only know that as well because of Coach Carter.
Okay, okay.
You do suicides. I love it so much. No, so it's like, I'm guessing it's a cone which is kind of 15 meters or 10 meters, or however far distance apart.
Right, right, right.
If you kind of jog it, it takes you a few seconds, and you basically have to time it to the beep. Or at least you can't be after the beep. You can't arrive at the cone after the beep. So if you do, you have to kind of catch up for the next one. So it's basically done in stages. It like every kind of five beeps, it goes up a pace and that sort of thing. And then it's just level one, level two, and then up to where it goes, like you're basically a full on run sprint.
Right. To do it. I'm just going to put it on screen. Wow.
So that, they say it's the beep test.
See, that's what we call it. We call it the beep test.
Maybe it is the beep test. Are these American?
It says Soccer Coach TV, so I'm going to assume American.
Okay.
But
if English people, right, were seen saying beep test.
Yeah.
No.
Because when I hear bleep test, I'm like, oh, you're censoring somebody swearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what do you censor people with? A bleep? Is it a boop?
Yeah, you do. So that's what I would say. But the test itself is a beep. This is just added to the list of words the English and Americans.
Yeah, we're just not going to agree.
We're just never going to agree. Yeah. You know, it's a cookie, not a biscuit or whatever.
No, but we have cookies.
They're different. They're a different thing.
We're not going to get into this because there's too many things, bro. Yeah, that's it.
But that's basically, it's just running back and forth and there's certain beeps and it changes the speed and stuff like that. It almost feels like it's never ending. And it's a very, very...
I think it does end eventually. It might feel like that. Yeah, it's tough.
But people drop off before you actually finish. It can get a little bit like competitive and you know, whatever.
Sure. But that is, I'm guessing, the secret behind the victory.
Didn't do it before.
In conclusion, it was the bleep test / beep test.
I mean, if Frank couldn't come up with that, just go
what
back.
Do you mean Frank was to practice us passing the ball? That's so weird. We got to run more.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because I you know, especially Frank Lampard also played.
You wanted him to work out, right?
Everyone did.
Yeah.
There was just something about the story, you know, I think... I would say some people didn't think it was fair that he got sacked from Chelsea at the time he did it. And it ended up working out for them.
Yeah.
They win Champions League at the end of that year.
Yeah.
But it did feel like Chelsea, especially with managers, they're so cutthroat. The leash is incredibly short. Yeah. And so a lot of people did want him to succeed. And then after seeing the way he was essentially carried out of Goodison Park by the fans
was brutal. Yeah, it was horrible.
So what your response to that, or your impression of that, was that it was awful seeing Everton fans on the pitch celebrating like that?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, when you said brutal.
Yeah. I said, no, I just think the last few weeks or even months of Frank's tenure.
Yeah.
Was horrible to watch.
Right.
It was like, it's the manager version of like watching the Titanic unfold. Like, especially me as like an Arsenal fan, I'm in a nice rowing boat, I'm safe, and I'm watching this like historic thing, Everton, slowly splitting in two and falling into the sea.
Yeah.
And it's going, but it's in slow motion.
Yeah, yeah. And like, it hurts a little bit more. Yeah. See, because you can see every deck as it's
slowly dropping down the table, right? And you're going, someone help this thing. But equally, like, the captain's a really nice guy. And he's like, he's literally going down with the ship. And then in this version, somehow a new captain arrives and manages to fix the Titanic, and then suddenly it's afloat again.
Yeah.
But the other captain, Frank, has sadly sunk to the bottom of the Pacific.
But yeah.
Atlantic?
Atlantic would Atlantic. Be in be where the
if, oh yeah, of course, yeah, Atlantic. Yeah,
I think this is why people liked him so much that they were like, it's not Frank's fault. We're done. We've had so many matches. It's not Frank's fault. It's the board. It's everybody else. Which I do think is a fair sentiment, but I worry that if Sean Dyche is successful for 3-4 matches, does that sentiment go away? Do people truly feel that? Is it simply the manager, even though Everton has had about nine managers since Seamus Coleman has been there. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah, I don't know what the problem is, but yeah, I don't know whether it's, I never really know how much blame lies on the manager versus the board. Like Spurs, for example, like how much is Conte versus Levy, and that's just like a never ending cycle, right?
Yeah, he seems to be pretty upset with
of course. Seems miserable. he's so upset.
He's like, they don't give me any money. Yeah. I need money to do my job.
Well, it's just like he started just being like brutally honest in like post match pressure. I was like, I don't know. At the end of the season, we'll see. Like, just leave, man. Like, it's just, I mean, they've got a good manager in Conte, but equally, like, that comes with certain things. You're not going to play that attractive football.
Yeah.
And if you're not winning anything at the end of the day, then playing rubbish football and not winning anything, sort of a recipe for disaster.
Okay. Yeah. I'm quite...
That's not a dig at Spurs, by the way. Thank you so much for beating Coors.
Look, I know Timsy's a huge fan of tea, but today's show is sponsored by Coors Light. Okay. That is always the beer we go for when we need to chill, when we need to relax. You know, when you're juggling work, family, life, okay, things can get a little bit chaotic, a little hectic. Even if you're juggling a soccer ball, okay, it can get a little stressful. So grab a Coors Light. That's what we do, okay? It's incredibly refreshing, rewarding, all right? You just feel good about yourself, all right? So there's only one beer out there that's made to chill, and that is Coors Light, okay? So when it's time to relax, just open a Coors Light. It's a mountain cold refreshment made to chill. So when it's time to unwind, Coors Light is the beer we reach for. When you want to hit reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/Cooligans. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
I want to talk about you a little bit and your career, because this is the first time we're meeting in person, I believe. We've had phone calls.
Surely not.
Is this somewhere?
Why did our hug earlier feel so natural?
I did. There was something.
I'm a very huggy person. Me too.
But I.
Okay. I didn't know that.
I think it might. I'm trying to think if we met somewhere. Maybe at an Arsenal match in the US or something like that. But I don't think so.
No, but I've only been to the LA ones.
Okay.
And I didn't see you guys when you were in London.
Right. Okay.
And when you came over, because I was either busy or I was away. I can't remember.
Okay. All
but
good.
So be it. This is the first time. Amazing.
But this is it. I can confirm the hug was very genuine.
Special.
And it felt like, oh man, I haven't seen
you in so long, man.
Damn, it's a shame.
I haven't seen you in my whole 30 years of living. It's been too long, bro.
So I'm glad. It felt right. But, I just want to start by saying this. And maybe the hug kind of captures something that I've already felt in the past, where I feel like I've known you for years.
Yeah.
I've watched your content. I've watched you. I mean, we Alexis and I have been doing this show for 7 years.
Yeah.
But there's something in those 7 years where I'm like, oh, this is my cousin Timsy. He's out in England. And
no, I feel like that is a weird thing, because I feel like that too. With a lot of people.
Sure.
Like, especially you started 2015.
Yeah.
I was basically around the same time, right? That was when I first started. And it was, I don't know, I feel like that with a lot of people who do the stuff that kind of we do. Like, it's so, because it's so familiar, right? It's like no one makes this like super uptight kind of broadcasty type thing. It's like living room chats, right?
Yeah.
That's the whole, so then naturally, if you're going to watch people or be a fan of people or just consume other things, like, you're gonna feel at ease with, you know, that's why it's enjoyable, that's why people watch it, right? So then it's like, that's why you listen to it and you watch it and you go, yeah, I feel like I'm just on on the sofa with you guys, you know. Why I think there's a natural, like,
totally
chemistry.
We're all just friends.
We just laid chilled back,
right?
Like, LA'd out. Yeah.
And when it comes to you know, you are a the way I was introduced to you as it was essentially as like a football presenter.
Yeah.
And I think you've grown to, you know, several other kind of, other sports, other industries. When I think of you, I think of fashion. That's another aspect. Oh, and look,
you don't need to say that.
No. But even being a part of, like, you were part of the Arsenal, one of the we say Adidas campaigns. And you're wearing, was it the new kit or the new training top? I don't remember.
Yeah, there's been a few. The new, like, the 424 collab stuff.
Right.
There's been a lot. Yeah.
Right, and you were one of the adverts.
Yeah,
right.
For Arsenal.
For Arsenal. So there, I think a lot of people start to just feel like, okay, this is just, it's not weird to see you in these things.
No, and that's the thing. It doesn't feel weird to be in them as well, which is what's weird.
I agree. Yeah, because Alexis and I were on NBC on the Premier League broadcast, and it was for the second time. We were just on a couple weeks ago in Orlando, and I made a joke about, like, I made a joke on the broadcast. I'm like, oh, I'm not totally used to this, but there is definitely a, like, it's not weird.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't deserve to be anywhere.
No, yeah.
But it's not weird that I'm there. We're like, we did work a lot to get to that, even that opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. It can feel weird and also not feel weird. And, you know, I think both are true.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole kind of imposter syndrome, that's what everyone talks about.
Bro,
like,
I'm built in it.
Built
in imposter syndrome.
I sort of get that, like, every day. I don't know why I do what I do, but I do it. That's it, you know. But I feel like it's in a lot of areas of, especially like media, but even football, which is so broad and so global, there's really no limits to what can actually happen, you know. Like, from the very beginning, especially if you're open to kind of like new things and you're kind of, you put yourself out there and just do stuff, right? You just make stuff, move on to the next one, make stuff. Like, opportunities are going to come your way and you have no idea what it's going to get. Yeah, it's like an Arsenal advert, right? Mental. Why am I doing that? But then it's like, and then like presenting for England. It's like, it doesn't make sense. But also when you're doing it, it's like, nah, like, this does make sense and it feels right.
Yeah.
You know, it's really weird.
And the thing I love and what's inspirational even to me a little bit is...
Just a little bit.
What I do love is that you've done interviews in other languages outside of English. So I'm curious, how many languages do you know or comfortable with, and then enough to do interviews in those other languages?
I would say, so I speak English.
Okay, you're nailing that one. Yeah,
thank you. French, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Okay.
But then Portuguese is like basic.
Yeah.
Because I only did that for 2 years at uni.
Yeah.
So that was like, I can hear stuff and I can follow a conversation. But in terms of my participation, like, it's just like basic, just chatting stuff. And any of the gaps I have, I just fill it in with Spanish, right?
Right.
With the Portuguese accent, right? So that's like, it's okay. And I can do basic, but I've interviewed, weirdly, a lot of the Portuguese ones I've done in Portuguese are like really big ones because you get Brazilian players, right? So it's been like Neymar 2-3 times and then Renato Sanchez and that sort of thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then French and Spanish is like fine because like I'm kind of fluent in that. So I used to live in France, used to live in Spain. And then because of that, obviously, legendary player. I feel like I'm boasting now.
No, this is great.
But I'll
love
boast.
It. Because I speak Spanish, so we've done interviews in Spanish.
Yeah.
But I really want to learn Portuguese and French and enough to be able to do interviews in them as well. And it's like, I'm talking to you about it just so I put it out in the universe.
Exactly,
so I force myself to do it.
You keep yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
No, the one thing I would say is that it doesn't take much to be able to do it, you know? Like, even in Portuguese, like, my Portuguese is by no means perfect, like, or even great.
Yeah.
But it's good enough to, like, I've got, say, 10 questions that I need to ask Neymar, and I just remember what they are and then say them.
Okay.
And then, like, I follow along the conversation, but I don't need to, like, it's different. Like, I don't need to actually involve myself in the conversation or be able to reply and like follow up on his answers because it's like, it was a very kind of, I have these 5 things to ask or these 10 things to ask. I just need to ask them because we've got 15 minutes of Neymar and that's it.
Yeah.
But then it's different, like say like Tiwi Timzy or like any of the stuff that like we do or any chat stuff. That's different.
Timzy.
Yeah, exactly.
Take on Timzy.
Mate con Timzy, right? But then like in French and Spanish, that's fine because like I'm at a level where I can actually we can just chat.
Totally.
So that obviously helps. And that, honestly, that's been one of the things that I feel like has opened the most doors for me. Outside of anything else, like, I mean, obviously being at Copper at the beginning. doing you, that for a few years.
I hear you say that. Where I was watching, I've watched Tea with Timsy and stuff like that. What word did you just use right there? Copper?
Copper.
What is it?
Copper 90.
Copa. Oh, okay.
Oh, Copa. Fuck it. No. Sorry, I can't swear. Sorry.
No, I kept hearing copper, and I'm like, is that like a thing?
No, yeah. No, sorry. Copa 90, yeah. It makes me feel so horrible inside.
No, it's fine. I just needed it, because I'm sure there was somebody might be listening and be like, yeah. I don't know exactly what he said. But yeah, and Copa. Yeah. Oh,
so
perfect.
All of it helped, like having that platform straight away, and it was like the perfect place to learn how to edit videos and what filming is like and angles, production, presenting, editing, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was like the best education possible. It was just like into the deep end, just learn.
Yeah, was that your first job in sports?
In life.
Oh, in life?
Yeah.
First gig.
So, I mean, like, look, I've done little bits, but like my first full-time job ever. Like I spent 2 weeks as a security guard at Wimbledon Tennis Championships. When I was 18,
would have loved to see that. You got any photos in those shorts? Do they wear shorts or the long pants?
In security cards and shorts. No. It's actually on my Instagram. Like, I put it up a while. You can get it up. It's like, it's I look like a Malaysian Airlines pilot. Oh, not even pilot, air steward. Like, honestly,
right.
Yeah. So if you go on my Instagram and you go with me, and then. If you keep scroll down to the summer, and then it will just keep going.
Okay.
So that's a lot of World Cup stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is down. Follow Timsy on.
Okay, so that one in the middle with me smiling in there.
Yeah.
So click that, and then so it said 12 years later, and Wimbledon's back in safe hands.
There it is.
That is me in the exact same spot, bro. Look at me. I'm a security guard at Wimbledon. Yeah? Roger Federer is like one of the most famous, valuable athletes in the whole world, and they expect me to like stop someone if they've got a knife and running into the... I'm going, bro, I just want to get enough money to go to Thailand on holiday. You lot go.
Look, why is the hat so large? It's
because
a large...
One, because my head is small.
Okay.
And probably smaller when I was 18. And two, I think there's just... There weren't many hats available. No. Just, you get what you're given. You have to protect your bond somehow. So just wear that hat.
That's incredible. Have you ever heard the story?
So that was my first actual job.
Amazing.
And then I went copper.
My first job was working at a video game store. Like, do you have GameStop?
I knew that. I don't know why, but I just knew it.
We
don't have GameStop. We have CEX.
Okay.
And games. So we had two. I mean, we've had loads of ones in the past, but the ones that kind of lasted was like Blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Game, HMV, and then CEX. CEX is now like the big one.
Got it.
That everyone just kind of...
But that was my first gig. I don't know if you ever heard... Do you ever hear the story of Roger Federer not being allowed into Wimbledon?
Yes. Or something? Yeah, I saw the same interview on Jimmy Fallon or whatever it was, right?
Was it I think I saw it on TikTok, but it could have been on Fallon.
Was it Kimmel?
Kimmel. Okay.
I can't remember. It was when he retired, right?
Yeah, so
he retired
and
it after.
And he was just trying to go. And he's like, I won it, man. 12 times or whatever.
No, so I've met him. So to be fair, the one good thing about being there, I don't know why I'm still talking about this. But like the one good thing, it was amazing because I was a security guard. It's weird how the world works. Like at the broadcast center at Wimbledon. So this is in 2010, right?
Yeah.
Or 2011. And then I was on the door, like right by the where it's all BBC basically. Mm-hmm. So then like, I got to see and like start chat to like Sue Barker, who's like a legendary TV presenter in England, and always hosted Wimbledon. But then I would see all the players as well, because they would come in for interviews, and I would see legends because they're now pundits and stuff like that. So it's like I remember speaking to Boris Becker around the back of like the broadcast center, because he needed a lighter for his cigarette and stuff. And I'm like, I'm 18. I don't know what I'm doing here. But then also like I saw like Roger Federer, and then I like talked to the broadcasters and journalists and stuff. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, I would like to do something like this.
Yeah.
And I had a kind of mind towards doing it, but then obviously I didn't do anything about it. And then a few years down the line, then it's like you get into football. I mean, it's not even broadcasting or anything. It's like football YouTube, just see what happens and just present. But then it's learning and developing your skills.
But even I think what's been amazing in the last last 7-8 years is football, especially on YouTube, has become where you really go to consume that kind of content. And what I love is the kind of like when I when we were talking about that familiarity, especially I think for Americans or American content creators that work in soccer, and we look at what's going on in England because the way we have Hollywood and actors and everybody wants to go succeed there and to be in that in Hollywood and be in the film industry. I think a lot of people in soccer look at England like, yo, that's the Hollywood.
Yeah, exactly. Genuinely though. That is the case. Like it's the, it's like the home of football, right? So it's, so much football is based out of everything to do with
but for
football,
some reason it never comes home. Why? Why does football never come home? But
that's another map. That's a totally different matter.
I mean, at least, you know what? At least the English women brought it home. So that was pretty cool.
Exactly. Yeah. And they'll do it again this summer as well. But I don't know. There's something about, obviously, is how you get the home of football, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, yeah, so much just comes out. And I guess it's only natural to look at football broadcasting and football in all forms and in all coverage has been in the UK and in England for so long that obviously it's just like now it's so established, right? So then naturally, because it's kind of new on this part of the world, you kind of look there for not validation, but to make sure like that's how things are done and like take inspiration, but also kind of learn stuff and also just to back up your own things. It's like we're doing all these things and like you've got the shows and you've got CBS doing all these things and it's like it's similar. So it's like you have to.
Yeah, we all kind of like borrow from each other and learn from each other. The one thing I want to say is I need you to look into one of these cameras and tell people, if you're English and you're going to comment on our videos, just can you look past the accent? That's all. Look past. Yes, we have American accents. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we don't know what we're talking about.
No, of course. Yeah.
But that seems to be one of the main complaints.
Who complains about that?
It's
only for me. It's only if you've got. Can I swear?
You go for it.
Okay. It's only if you've got like a shit American accent.
Okay.
I don't care if it's American. But it's like, in the same way, if you've got an English accent, but you just sound like an idiot, like, I'm not going to listen to you, you know? Okay. So it's only that. Like, you lot are sweet.
Right. Lovely. Thank you.
But it's like, I'm not going to tune into maybe a football show that's based in like Orange County in California.
It just it feels like they're not connected to the subject matter just, the way you would want them to be.
Yeah, you know. Whereas like give me two lads in the heart of Manhattan, I'm all for it.
Exactly. You know? But yeah, because there is a
is there a contingent of your fans that don't like you in a weird way? English fans that are like, why are you still American?
No. I wouldn't say that. I mean if it's interesting because we're stand-up comedians in this space. I think that is probably a bigger...
Helps you, right?
Well, I think that's it does help. The way that I sort of see it is like if you're a fan of comedy and you're a fan of football, then you're probably going to enjoy our show.
Exactly.
But if you are only a fan of football and not really a big comedy nerd, a comedy fan, then it's like, all right, well, they're not talking about the game in a way that I would want them to talk about it.
Totally fair, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't understand why people complain, right? Unless it's like your actual fan base and you're doing something to annoy your own fan base, right?
Yeah.
I don't understand. There is so much football content for everyone. If you like anything about football in any way, delivered in any manner,
totally,
there's something for you, right? So then why would you go on this show? It's like, well, okay, we want to hear about football, hear about opinions, discussion, fine. You click on your video, but they're kind of serious and they don't want like a jokey kind of like fun take on things. Just click off. Find another thing rather than go, this is not what I want or like. Okay.
YouTube will literally recommend something that you might like in the same exact webpage.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. Like, I've never understood that as a person, right?
Yeah.
As a human. I have choice to do whatever I want. And one of them is not watch things that I don't want to.
Well, there is this, you know, and I thought I was going to experience what we sort of experience in the comment section when we actually went to England or when we went to London or Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like, oh, these Americans and they don't know.
Doing,
And it's complete opposite. They're
amazing.
Like, they're like, oh, you're an American and you love football or you love Everton.
It's amazing.
They
right?
love. They're like,
exactly.
They want to just embrace the fact that you like the thing that they grew up with.
Exactly. And that is, I totally understand that. That is amazing because I love that as well. I love even, So when we went on preseason tour with Arsenal to LA, you go to LA and see all these fans. I'm like, this is mad. It's so cool, man. Like, especially when we're lucky, because obviously I'm being from London, but also like anywhere in England, anywhere in the UK, there's football everywhere. And I know there's football everywhere here as well. Like so many like pop-up places and five-a-side pitches. It's incredible here. But like, it's ingrained in us from literally when we're born, right? Because you just play football outside on the street against the curb and stuff. It's just, there's nowhere that football isn't there. So we're kind of used to it. Like all the time, it's just, we don't have to think about it. It's like, of course I'm playing football on a Saturday. And then on Sunday, I'm going to go to watch my local team because they're around the corner. And then I'm going to go home and then I'm going to watch the match of the day and watch the parade.
Yeah.
It's just a way of life. So then you don't need to work for it. So it's just, that's why... But you guys need to work for it.
Actively.
Which is why it's like, and genuinely, that's why, bro, I didn't watch the Arsenal game against Everton.
Because very early.
I was in bed because it was so early. Like, I would love to have woken up that early, but I like sleep as well. But that's what's crazy. And this is New York.
Yeah.
If I was living in LA, I'd have had to wake up at 4:30. I'm not doing that. I love Arsenal, yeah? I love Arsenal. I love football.
Right.
But not
the sun has to be out for at least you to be interested in watching the match.
Exactly. Like, look, Champions League final, fine.
Right.
Arsenal have a chance of winning the Champions League. I'll wake up at 4:30. But like, that's the one thing that I've always admired about you guys and fans from all. I've never bashed global fans ever because, like, one, I don't care. I don't care enough to like have a hardcore opinion about anything that will. Makes me angry inside. Like,
yeah, but and then if you get into that, it gets very like Brexity. If you start complaining about.
But also like the whole thing of support your local club. I totally get, right?
Yeah.
Because it's good to support your local club because there's that feeling of like home and community and with other people who are from the same area and you represent a bigger thing than yourself and that sort of thing. I totally get it. But then also like there's family ties. So like I've not born in North London. Like near the Emirates or near Highbury, but my dad supports Arsenal. His dad supports Arsenal. His dad supported Arsenal. They all grew up with Arsenal, going to the Arsenal. It's like, it's of course you're allowed to support Arsenal.
Of course, yeah.
But then going beyond that, anyone's allowed to support anyone. It's fine. But the admirable thing, sorry, I've been rambling for so long.
No, it's beautiful.
Like the admirable thing is like global fans, especially English fans, we're maybe a bit better now, but usually at the beginning, when it started to kind of boom abroad, everyone's like, oh, why are they supporting these? Why are they supporting this? Or they're supporting this person or that player or whatever. But no, you have no idea how much like these people like genuinely love the club, right? There are American fans that love Arsenal more than me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there are club
tattoos
fans everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
In Japan, in Asia, in Africa, everywhere. But like they need to work so hard to show their dedication as much as you because I get on the tube, I'm at the Emirates in 25 minutes. That's fine. I go to the game, watch the game. This is amazing. And if it makes you feel good. Yeah. LA, you need to wake up that early to go watch the game or go to the local pub that opens up early to show the game with other fans so you can all get together and feel. And, you know, that's all you can do. Like, that's amazing.
And Arsenal fans have to, like, live it, have to represent it, have to explain it to people. People will see Arsenal on the badge and they're like, oh, are you pro Second Amendment?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's always a thing
I plead the fifth. That's the only one I know. It's the only one I know from, like, Suits and stuff.
But it is a thing where, look, it's not the predominant sport. Yeah. So people...
It will be.
You know, it's only a matter of time. But people do just have this this impression of like, oh, or like a, oh, you know, soccer is gay. That was like a thing we had to deal with for a long time. I mean, real clever.
Oh, you got me.
What? All this stuff. But I think, you know, especially now that the World Cup is coming in 2026 in the U.S., I think I just saw a tweet about hockey, the NHL. NHL is around the same TV rating, is getting around the same TV ratings as around like MLS.
Wow.
And so the thing is,
the
sport is starting to overshadow some of the sport that we all grew up with.
Football is almost soccer. Is almost too big for that not to happen, though.
Yeah.
Because it is a truly global game. That's the one thing. Like, I love the NBA. I like NFL. NHL, I quite like as well. Baseball.
Sure.
But then, like, But because it is so contained, it is almost like, and it's incredible, the elite of the elite, and it's so much fun, and it's broadcast all over the world, but it is contained within one country, basically, or sometimes Canada.
Yeah.
But football or soccer is so global that we have competitions in each country, but also in between countries, and then in between nations, and or not nations, sorry, in between like continents.
Yeah.
And then it's crazy, it
almost never ends.
And then we have a World Cup. Like, you don't have a, I mean, you do have World Cup of basketball and everything like that, but like, it's not the same because that's not the big thing. Whereas the World Cup is the big thing.
And everyone
Champions League is the big thing.
Yeah, and everyone in the world is not playing it. You know what I mean? It's just that.
So that's why its influence in America, eventually it will, I think, maybe not NBA and NFL because they are so big, and baseball as well for some reason. I don't know. But or in some areas of
the right.
But eventually soccer will just, it will just keep creeping up because it's an unstoppable machine.
I agree. I mean, even,
and I love it.
When we started our show, like as comedians talking about this sport, we saw the initial response with other comedians. We're like, what are you going to talk about soccer? Are you going to get four people listening? Nobody's going to care about this. And then now comedians are like, man, I wish I would have started something like you guys a couple of years ago.
You look dumb. No, but also like that doesn't, like people are so skeptical as well. Again, like people, why do you care? You don't have to go, oh, it's not going to work. Okay, fine. Don't tune in then. I honestly don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
But equally, like you two wanted to start something. And also, like, ultimately, you just want to start it because this is what you would do anyway. Like, you love relaxing and chatting about football and having a good laugh, right? Do it together with your good mate. It's great.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if four people tune in or 10 people or 1,000 people or 100,000 people, right?
Sure, sure.
Ultimately, you do it because you love it. Obviously, now it's developed into, like, it's business and you can make money from it and it's taking you across the world and stuff, which is amazing. But at the heart of it, it's you would do it because you love it. It's not, if you started hating it, you would really think twice about, like, do I really want to do this?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, I, Alexis and mine, like, significant others would have had an issue if only four people were listening.
Yeah, okay.
True. At some point, you know, the pressure does start to pile on, but it worked out.
I think at the heart of it, at the heart of why you do it.
Exactly. You know, we're getting paid for something we would do for free, exactly. Essentially.
Exactly. So that's the same for me.
Yeah.
With my job. But then, now it's to a point where, like, I wouldn't do this stuff for free anymore.
Okay.
Because when you've done loads of things, you go, like, doing it again, I don't know.
You've already said you've paid your dues.
Yeah.
I want to mention this. I was mentioning sort of the YouTube. We still have the photo of you as a security guard up there.
Oh, that's staying up there.
why change it? It feels so welcoming and warm. I love it.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.
I want to talk a little bit about just the other YouTube presenters, a lot of your friends and some I've met, some I have not, but these people are, and this is what I hope American soccer presenters sort of become as well, where the personalities in the game. Immediately, you know, even scrolling through TikTok, even as an American, Chunks.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah.
You know, Vooj.
Yeah.
All these guys are like household names to some degree. So how much of a, I don't know if it's a conversation amongst everyone. Is everybody sort of doing their own thing? Is everybody really supportive? What's the kind of landscape like?
I think on the whole, everyone is really supportive. And it's a mix of people doing their own thing and also like helping each other. Like, cause not everyone are best pals and also everyone's got the time to help each other and everything. But like Chunks and Philly, obviously they work together, but also they do their own thing as well. They have their own channels and their own series and everything like that. But then they have like the Beta Squad as well. So they have bigger things that they collab on. So it's like, that's just, I think everyone's got their little ecosystems of content. Even though I hate that word, content, but like they're ecosystems of like work and collaboration and stuff, right? And I feel like it makes the journey a lot easier and more fun when you have more people to like work with and you enjoy and stuff, and it helps. So from like experiences, I've found making my own things is, or doing things by myself is great and I enjoy them, but making stuff with other people has always been much more enjoyable and ultimately kind of like fruitful.
Yeah, but then,
and it's not like I say doing my own things, but as in like having my own shows and my strands of content or whatever that I do, that can involve other people, and I always love it when it does. It doesn't matter if it has other people, but I always feel like it helps and it brings a different dynamic and that sort of thing. So like, but these, all of these people are there and like household names, like through their own right, like they are amazing at what they do. But there's also a reason why they're all good at what they do and why they help each other. You know, like people, I don't know, I feel like good people get with good people, you know?
Yeah, you get that natural sense. Is it Footy Asylum? Those clips, they're just hilarious. I mean, these guys are just, you know, again, I'm coming from the background of stand-up comic. I don't know if any of them have comedy backgrounds or entertainment. Really. It's like some of the funniest clips.
Funny bones. They've got funny bones.
And then the fact that it's just layered on top of football is like, that's
the dream.
You know, and that's all we're trying to do. But I love that it's more commonplace have that. And here we have to like kind of explain like, oh, it's okay to laugh about this sport and things like that, and just make it a part of like normal conversation.
Exactly. That's what I think as you were talking about earlier, of like at the beginning, it wasn't really a thing, right? So when we started, so 2015, and like even when I started at Copper,
hey, Copper, you know?
Yeah. It's just loads of metal around me. No, so when I started at Copper, it was like me, well, Vooj, Poet, Ellie, obviously Ellie making the documentaries, Poet and Vooj doing the fun stuff and the personality led stuff. And then I kind of like fit just a weird niche of like playing, but also being friends with Poet and Vooj and Ellie and just kind of getting involved in whatever, right? But at that time, outside of us four, there were also, I'd say there was probably like 10, 15 other people doing videos. Like there was obviously like, there's Spencer, there's the F2.
Yeah, yeah.
There's Chunks and Philly hadn't started at that point. I think they started like 2016, 17 or something. But like, and they were, to be fair, they were big on in their own right on like Snapchat or Facebook or YouTube because of their funny videos and they're like more like street humor rather than like football.
Right, right.
But you could count on like maybe two hands, like how many people are actually in the space that know each other, whatever. And now it's endless, endless people.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is amazing because the fact that it's a viable option for anyone.
Yeah, I think, you set the groundwork, you know, a path for everybody else to follow behind.
Not me, but me individually. It's not like I'm the first one. Us collectively.
Yeah, no, I mean,
which I played a tiny part.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, sometimes people come up to me and kind of say like, oh, they may have started a podcast and they're like, oh, you guys are the inspiration for what we do.
Yeah, it's amazing,
like
isn't it?
And it's like for, you know, when we started, there wasn't any real belief that it would ever become a business venture at all.
Yeah.
It was just like, we're stand-up comics. We know we're funny. Like let's just make funny things about this other thing that we're interested in. And for it to get to a place where even if one person is like, oh, I want to do that too. Well then
it's amazing.
That's pretty.
But that's what also like one, it's amazing when that happens, right? When you get people come up to you and say like, I really love your stuff, or like, oh, I've started this because you did this or whatever. Like that's amazing, man.
Yeah,
like no.
I want to initially apologize when somebody says
no,
that.
No, of course, yeah. It depends. What are you doing?
Right.
Because if you're breaking the law or anything, then I'm not. I didn't do it. I didn't do that.
Please do not put me in. You know, don't write my name anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I committed this murder because of Michael Timms' YouTube channel. It's like I don't know where this came from. But when that's amazing, right? So getting that feedback and like actually tangibly seeing like people do stuff and like because they've taken inspiration from something you've done, which is crazy. Like that's mad. Like I'm just a weirdo doing stuff and somehow like some people watch it. But also it's a really admirable thing like from you guys and from all of these things. I think I had it really easy. I got so lucky because I didn't need to start anything myself.
Okay.
I had the best platform possible. It was like huge YouTube channel. And I worked hard and said yes to things and like made sure I gave it my all, and you know,
of course,
that's fine. But everything was almost done for me. I just had to really apply myself and like obviously get better at presenting, editing, whatever. But like you guys, you just had to do it. Like you had to learn on the job, and there was no platform for you. You had to make your own platform. Like that is so much harder, which is why it's like, as much as, you know, someone else could say like, "Oh, you're such an inspiration." Well, it's like, it is.
Well, so look, if you're saying that our story is more inspirational than your story, I'm not gonna debate you on that.
No, but I would say arguably say yeah.
No, I mean it's not anything that I don't necessarily wear that with any pride, but it's because it's a lot of circumstances. Things had to work out, and everybody's sort of journey had to get to it.
Luck plays a huge part. Timing plays a huge part. That's why I always say it's like there's certain things that you can do to ensure you just give yourself the best chance of things, right? Work hard. Be nice to people all the time.
I mean,
be open to anything. Just say yes, right? But equally, like as I said, like I'm sure there was a lot of luck on your journey. A lot of luck in the roads ahead. Same with me as well. I've been so lucky and I've been so blessed in so many ways. And equally, I've been unlucky sometimes, but I've worked really hard for it to work out. And so, you know, so it all just levels out.
Yeah, there's one of the things that I've always loved was where Conan...
We are great, aren't we?
We
are amazing.
Conan O'Brien, do you know the late night host?
Big old ginger man.
Yes. Conan O'Brien, when he lost the Tonight Show, remember he was where Jimmy Fallon currently is, he had that show for like... 4 or 5 months or something like that. Okay. And then it was given back to Jay Leno and it was the whole thing.
Jay Leno's the chin man.
Yes. But in that last episode, he said, it's like a longer part of his like kind of monologue, but he talked about cynicism. And he's like, it doesn't matter what happens to me in my career, I will never get to a point where will start to be cynical because I've had unbelievable opportunities and an incredible amount of luck. And so he's kind of, that was a direction he was giving to everybody. And
amazing.
Just to not be cynical because there's
there's enough cynical people out there, man.
Totally.
Like, that's the one thing, like, and it's really hard to convince yourself. You can almost like lie to yourself and like, don't be cynical. It's like, it's really hard to take your own advice.
Yeah.
Really, really difficult, right? I'm the same thing. It's like, I shouldn't worry about what anyone else is doing. Just do my own thing. But obviously it's like, it's difficult. Like I'll do my own thing, but I'll look at something else. Like, oh wow, that's really good. And like part is like, wow, this is cool. But also like, fuck, I'm not doing this, you know? So it's really hard to take your own advice. But also I always just have to remember like people are so, there's so many people in the world and so many people can just be negative whenever they want. And it's like, so why just ignore
why,
it?
Yeah, why?
Just go about your own thing, man.
Like, why add to it?
Surround yourself with good people and try and just make yourself happy by doing, you know, things that make you happy.
I couldn't agree more.
So airy fairy.
I want to wrap up with this. You are in New York F1 related thing.
Yes.
So I want to talk about this a little bit because F1 has taken, I think, the US by storm a little bit, maybe across the world because of this Netflix show.
Yeah.
So after this Netflix show, I started watching, I have not finished it, but
there's a lot of seasons. So
I'm watching and I'm like, okay, this is packaged in a way that's making me care more than I expected.
Exactly. Right. Now you get it.
Yeah.
But that's the same for me.
Yeah.
It's the same.
So, and you were with Red Bull Racing.
Yeah.
And what were you doing in particular while you were here?
So, it was the launch, basically the new launch of the new season.
Okay.
And Red Bull did their launch in Oracle Red Bull, as they say. Red Bull Racing did their launch here in New York, obviously because you know, Red Bull is here.
Yeah.
For NYCFC.
Yeah. No, New York Red Bulls.
New York Red Bulls. Obviously not NYCFC. Why did I say that?
So okay. Oh, yeah. It's one team has an MLS Cup title and the other one doesn't.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. New York Red Bulls. But so they obviously like launched it here because it's like just growing so much. And I am basically an ambassador for them. So I've signed with them now for the year.
Awesome. Congrats, man.
For the season. Thank you.
Yeah, dude.
Which is amazing because like they are, I mean, I've done work with them before in the past anyway. Like that's one of my Neymar interviews was with BBC and Red Bull, because they Red Bull Neymar Jr. Fives, right?
Yeah, which I played in.
Okay, nice. So have I.
In Miami.
It's great. With Neymar?
Not with Neymar.
Did he humiliate you and rainbow flick you in front of everyone?
I imagine that's maybe what have happened to you.
It was awful.
But I did suffer a humiliating thing at a Neymar 5 event, okay. Because do you know Aaron West? You know Aaron West?
Yeah.
The homie. Boy. Aaron West.
To look up with him, but he was away in, was it Boston? He had to go to Boston or something.
Oh, that's right, because he's doing the Serie A coverage over there. I'm playing, it's my team against his, I'm not
the
captain.
He's a good player, man.
He's a very good player, yeah. And I am not a very good player.
Okay.
But if you don't look too closely, it looks like I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Maybe, this was probably about 4 or 5 years ago when we played in this game. So the night before, it rained a little bit.
Okay.
So the pitch was a little bit wet.
Excuse number one.
So I'm just going to preface it that way. So
I didn't bring my snorkel.
So Aaron, he has the ball, on his side of of the pitch, and
it's small though. The pitch
is
small.
It's a fairly small pitch, but he just hoofs it. He just sends a ball in.
Yeah, slap foot as we call it in
England. Yeah, not on
He's
goal.
Got a slap foot.
So he sends it in. I try to just get in the way of it, try to intercept the pass, but the ball was very slick.
Oh, no.
So the ball, he hit it pretty hard, but the ball starts to trickle towards the goal, and there's nobody defending the goal because I'm essentially the center back, but I'm playing pretty high up. So I, not the end of the world, so I'm like, oh, I hit it, and it skips off my foot.
Yeah.
Let me just go and clear this goal line clearance.
Sure.
as to not give up an own goal.
Yeah.
Running towards the ball. I don't, my reflexes are not on point.
Your knees are not what they were when you were 18.
But I go and I do a diving, I go to clear the ball off.
Diving John Terry head.
No, not head, with my foot. But I throw my legs at the ball to clear it and not let it go in on goal. But because the floor was still pretty wet, I not only do I miss the ball to prevent it from going in, but I also slide completely into the goal.
You're fooled with yourself.
There is video footage of this, of me sliding in, like sliding into home base in baseball.
That's Did that count for anything? Is that like a game breaker in FIFA Street?
And then what made it worse was that this was being broadcast. This was being live streamed. And the announcers on the call were Jimmy Conrad.
Oh, Jimmy.
And Mike LaBelle.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And Mike LaBelle, who was the... he still represents Red Bull. But he was the EMLS player for a long time, but now I think he's more of an EMLS kind of ambassador.
Yeah.
Works with Red Bull all the time. And then he's making fun of me for being an NYCFC fan and giving up a own goal and the whole thing. So yes, you got rainbow flicked.
Yeah.
But I got publicly humiliated.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Okay. Fair. We're about 1-1.
Yeah. Yeah. So we have that, in common. So,
But that's why. Yeah, well, I'm here because of Ripple.
Perfect. Yeah. I know. And
it was great though. It was good. It was really fun.
We have on the Meadowlark Network and the Levitar and Friends Network. We also have an F1 show as well. So it's gotten to the point where people really want to.
It's big here, right?
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to Smetty, Jessica Smetana, who's one of the hosts of that show.
I come back to New York all the time anyway, but I think I'll go to the Vegas one.
Okay.
I think Miami, and I think Austin.
Austin,
as well. So maybe I think I'm going around a few. Basically, it's like for the year, going to these things, showing people behind the scenes and making content. Basically, being an ambassador.
We got to figure out. I want to go to. I've never been to an F1 race.
You're already asking me for tickets. I don't even know what I'm getting, mate.
I don't even ask you for tickets. Just let me know where it is, and I'll try to go. Okay, that's it. Yeah. Because
that's good. You're pushing. You're like, we've met once before ever,
but we hugged so closely.
Yeah, it's true. Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Whatever you want, you can have it. Don't worry, I got you covered, brother.
I want it. Yeah, I'm curious. I've never experienced it, it looks pretty
me
dope.
Me neither. I haven't been to one yet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like I've obviously watched them, and I've been to like the hangar in Salzburg, so Red Bull HQ.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's insane because they're like F1 cars, jets, helicopters, like everything's there. It's insane.
Yeah, I have like my bucket list thing. Like I've gone skydiving.
Yeah.
And that was an incredible experience. Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's great. If you like adrenaline.
Helicopter, never. but flying stone. It is. That stops working.
Right.
What are you gonna do?
But
the doesn't have wings.
The one of the things I've always wanted to do, maybe not drive an F1 car because that seems like incredibly dangerous
and scary. Beasts,
but I've been seeing this like on TikTok or like these ads for like these like tracks like where you can drive like a NASCAR,
like racing tracks,
a racing track and stuff. And that's kind of you remember the game on? It was on PlayStation. It was like
Gran Turismo.
I love Gran Turismo, but there was another game called like Getaway or Getaway Driver. It was like a stunt driver.
Yeah,
and I played that game and I'm like, man, I want to do like donuts.
Yeah, I want to be that man. I remember. Do you remember? I mean, we could talk about this. Do you remember Burnout?
Yeah.
Bro, that made me want to drive and crash a car. Like, how can you do? There was like a game mode where you had to make as much destruction as possible.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What an awful thing to teach children. You're there driving going, yes, I've just blown up a barrel on the motorway and 1,000 people have died. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You go, well, that was a fun game. Maybe I'll learn how to drive. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned I worked at a video game store. And I remember at one point, like, I was working there when, like, PlayStation 1 was out.
Wow.
And stuff like that. I was a kid. I was, like, 15.
Yeah.
But then I worked at a GameStop. And at some point, it started becoming, like, you know, you could sell any game to whoever had the money to pay for it. Yeah. And then it was like, then games like Grand Theft Auto, games started getting a little too...
It's expensive, bro.
Yeah, well, but then it's like IDs and...
Oh, I see what you mean.
It became like, you know, you had to be cautious about who you were selling it to because a parent might complain if you sold it to, Grand Theft Auto to a child.
I remember that. I used to get my dad to buy me games when it was like... I swear I had to get ID'd or not ID'd, but I had to get my dad to buy me like... a soccer game.
Right.
And it wasn't even like, you know, the red card game where like you can beat people up and stuff.
Yeah.
It was just a normal soccer game. I'm like, it's FIFA. Like, let me buy it.
Yeah, they've gone soft, you know?
And Metal Gear Solid, actually. Metal Gear Solid was my first introduction to like, raw.
Yeah,
adults do crazy stuff, man.
One of the greatest games ever.
Genuinely, yeah.
Yeah,
We could talk about games forever.
Good. I'm glad this. Now it feels like this is like the 15th time we've hung out together.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, in fact, if anything, I need a break. I don't want to see you for another 6 months.
All right. Timsy's tired of me.
I could never be tired.
Timsy, this has been absolutely incredible. Thank you so much for joining us. I know a lot of our fans are fans of you. And if you are not aware, follow at Michael Timms on Instagram.
Yeah.
Check out Tea with Tim. Anything else that you may want to plug before I let you go?
No, I mean, I'm just doing my old YouTube thing. It's like I'm kind of restarting after the World Cup. I just needed a break because it was just so intense. So since then, now I'm like restarting my YouTube stuff now. So like this year, I want to do YouTube like hard. So I want to do a lot of more content. So like I'm doing like a Monday show that actually comes out on a Tuesday, but I record it on a Monday.
Sure.
Like a football show. But then I've also got like Tea with Timsy starting back up again with like big... I'm planning on like getting big guests on there, so like big Premier League players on there, and then just a few other series and stuff. Like I'm doing more golf stuff, and obviously I'm going to do F1 as well. So just more and more of the same.
Dude.
But people, you know where to find me if you want to watch.
Yeah,
so
dude, amazing, incredible, incredible work, incredible career. Thank you, man. Nothing but the best. If you're ever in New York, hit me up. You're welcome on the show
after 6 months. We need 6 months off, and then after that,
What I will do is I will try. I'll connect you with the people that do the F1 show on Meadowlark.
Yeah, for sure,
if you know, I just trying to spread the love, the F1 love,
amazing,
as much as possible.
No, bro. Anytime I'm here, I'll let you know. Like we'll link up for sure.
Sweet, dude. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back. Tomorrow, Alexis will be back. He was traveling, so that's why he wasn't on today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure tomorrow I can, maybe I just wear this shirt again, just to make sure.
Do it until you lose, honestly.
Just to rub it in Alexis's face as much as possible. But as always, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans everywhere. You have social media, the prison that is social media. We can't escape it.
Yeah, honestly, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. You have no excuse not to follow.
Follow me at Chris Polanco on Twitter, at Christian underscore Polanco on Instagram, and join the Patreon, patreon.com/soccercooligans, for our no cap recap podcast and stuff like that.
Give them money.
Let's go. Well, huge fans of it. All right, everybody. You guys are the best. Timzy, thank you so much, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
Peace.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.